now, okay? Y'all remember all that I said now, don't you? I'll ask you next Thursday what I said tonight. I'll ask you the question again, because I'm sure you got all that, right? Okay. All right, Revelation chapter 9. Now, if you look up back ahead, this is 9, it's the fifth trump. And we went down there three or four verses. And notice there in verse, let's pick it up where we can get some meaning here. Let's just start in verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Okay, now like I said, that's somebody saying, you know, blow your own horn. And this angel is identified as him. So it's not a star like we saw back in the previous chapters. Verse 2 says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air was darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and of them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. All right, now these locusts come out, and their purpose is not to destroy vegetarians, it's to destroy men. Okay? Now, what class of men is this? Who is going to be in danger here? Now, think about it. What we've already studied. In Revelation chapter 7, that 144,000, 12 from each tribe, had a seal, didn't he? Well, that means these locusts can't touch them. See? Now, we could make some application. If you're saved, you have a seal too. You have a seal of the Holy Spirit, and the devil can't touch your soul. You know that? He might mess your life up. He might kill you in this earth, but the devil can't touch your soul. You're sealed. See? Now, these scorpions come out, and that's their purpose. Their purpose is to hurt the men that don't have the seal of God in their forehead. Okay? All right, verse 5, the Bible says, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their tormentor was as the tormentor of a scorpion when he striketh a man. All right, now, this is something that come out that they're supposed to sting them, but they don't kill them. They just hurt. They just suffer. Okay? Torment. 5 months. Could you imagine just being in... You have ever been stung by a scorpion? A bee? Suppose a bumblebee stung you. You know how it feels the first few minutes, and you've like that for 5 months. You know what you'd be doing? You'd be trying to kill yourself, wouldn't you? And that's what they're going to try to do. Okay? Bible says, and the shape of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as were crowns like gold, and their faces were the faces of men. Okay? Now, it looks like horses here for battle, like some kind of shield on them. And like I tell you, Revelation is a book that it's not really hard to understand, it's just hard to believe. See, they're trying to show you all this stuff in outer space, so when you read the Bible, you won't believe it. Could you imagine the kind of horror movie you could make if somebody could put this in automation and make a video of this or a movie? Huh? Now look at verse 8. It had something interesting. And they, who is they there? Alright, that's these the locusts. They like a horse is prepared in the battle, and their head was a crown like gold. They had a body like a horse and a face like a man. That's something they say in some of these weird shows, isn't it? Okay? And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were the teeth of lions. Now, I've used this verse quite a bit. If you want to know where these mop heads come from, here's where they come from.
Next time you see one of them, why, just open your Bible and say, and say that's where they come from. And by the way, folks, let me tell you something. Bible has a meaning. Listen to me. You know, I got to win late. When I correspond with somebody, if it's something they do, I always take a Bible verse and I'll copy it down and send it to them. I told you about my telephone bill getting all messed up. They just messed up. They told me one thing, do something to it. So the last time I mailed the bill, I took away Revelation 21:8 where it says, and all whoremongers and sorcerers and all liars shall have their part in the lake with burning with fire and brimstone. I copied that on my copier, and I sent it to the telephone company. I put all liars, I underlined it, put their name on it. The last telephone bill said, I said, they owe me $3.26. So it, the Word of God's got power. Amen. I mean, use it, you know. So when I correspond with somebody, when I send them something, I take a scripture that applies to them and I just copy it and I let them have it. See? The Bible says the Word of God's quick and powerful, doesn't it? Well, it is. It'll get your job done. It might get you in trouble, but you'll get some. That's what God wants. Amen. Alright, so these creatures, wherever they are, they got bodies like horses, they got face like men, and notice the Bible said the hair of women. Now you know, that's interesting, isn't it? That tells you what long hair is. Long hair is for women, it ain't for men. Doesn't it? I mean, a man's got a ponytail and long wavy hair back on his shoulder, he's got hair like a woman. Now, something wrong with him, something wrong with his nature. See? Because the Bible said, doesn't nature itself teach it? If a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. In his natural state, he'd be ashamed of that man. If he's not ashamed, he's got a demon spirit, an unclean spirit in him that gives him the boldness not to be ashamed. Amen? Well, the Bible gets things narrowed down, don't it? All right, the Bible says they had hair like women and the teeth were the teeth of lions. Well, what kind of contraption would you call this? That's some creature, isn't it? And they're coming out of the bottomless pit, right out of hell. Okay? Okay, see, so long hair, women, long hair, comes from Revelation 9 from the bottomless pit. Okay? And by the way, I don't believe Christian men have long hair. No more than I believe Christian women run around with their clothes off. Well, I won't spend no time on that tonight because that might not be. We'll try to keep it sweet as we can. Alright, verse 9, the Bible says, and they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running the battle. That's, how do you explain something like that? I mean, I can't really give you an explanation of that verse. Just tell you to read it, and there it is. Okay? And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stingers in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Now, we already seen that back in verse 5. They were given power to hurt men for 5 months. Okay? Now, look at verse 11. The Bible says, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Now, the first time they sent a spaceship up, they called it Apollyon, didn't they? They got a king over them. Apollyon means destroyer, and the word Judas means destroyer. Okay? And, like I said, the first rocket ship they sent to the moon was called Apollos. See? And Apollos is the god of destruction from the heart of the earth. So let me tell you something. You know what I believe? I believe the space program they're into now, and it's getting in all the nations, China and Russia and France and all of them getting the space program. That is something out of hell. You say, why? Because the Bible said that God didn't make that for man, not now. Let me tell you something. I read something the other day that it's real simple, but it's a great truth. And this thing said that God will never leave nobody contrary to his word. Now you mark it down. If it's contrary to what God said, you bet you this, that God ain't in it. Okay? Alright, verse 12. One woe is past, and behold, there comes two more hereafter. Alright, we start off with seven. We've got five. We got two to go. Alright, verse 13 is the sixth one. Verse 13. And the angel sounded. Uh-oh. Wait a minute. We got a problem here.
Alright. Okay, we're in verse 13, Revelation 9, verse 13. All right, the Bible says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the fourth horns of the golden altar, which is before God. Now, we discussed about that already back in a previous chapter, about this, the four horns of the golden altar. That's where they make sacrifices. And I believe in the tribulation, these will be human sacrifices. They'll be cutting the heads off of those that won't take the mark. See? And one day, if you're here, you'll hear this. You'll see it. If you're saved, you'll be in heaven. You'll get to see it. But if you left in this world in tribulation, you'll see this. Okay. Verse 14 says, "To the sixth angel which had the trump, loose the fourth angel which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year." For to slay the third part of men. Now, we've seen they're going to come out and they're going to torment men for 5 months. But this sixth trump has four angels that's going to slay the third part of the human race. Now, I don't know what, let's go back to chapter 6 and let's look at something here, chapter 6 and verse 8. Chapter 6, verse 8, just turn one page back. And the Bible said, I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with beast of the earth. Now, I think this is something different. I can't find no scripture to make this maybe be the same, see? But a third part of the men, that's more than World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Spanish-American War, Civil War, you see. that there's never been nothing like this in the world. All the wars of history wouldn't be as many as this going to be. So the future is bigger and better wars coming. Amen. They talk about peace on earth, peace. You're going to hear a lot about it. You know, we're coming into peace season. You know that, don't you? Now, let me just add this on while we're talking about this. There's two reasons why we won't never see no peace. Somebody want to tell me what they are? What are they? Before peace, what's it got to be? Righteousness, isn't it? And then what? There's got to be purity. And how can you have righteousness and purity until the King of Peace comes back? Okay? Peace on earth, goodwill towards men, right? What's missing? Somebody tell me what's missing. You're going to see it. You're going to hear that now in the next couple of months. You're going to hear a lot of that. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men. What's wrong with that? They're leaving out why there won't be none. The Bible says, glory to God in the highest, see? There'll never be no peace on this earth and goodwill toward men until God gets glory. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Look at me. This kind of junk here, God don't get no glory. And you take the Word of God and make a lie out of it and deceive people by what God said, God not getting no glory. Listen, there's so many things wrong with this world. You could write a book. Now, look at verse 14. Say unto the sixth angel which had the trump, loose the four angels which are bound in the river Euphrates. There's four angels bound there. Now they're there for this reason. And the fourth angel were loose, which were prepared. See, already prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year. Now figure that up. That's 13 months, one day, and 1 hour. You say, why is it like it? I don't know. I couldn't explain if I had to. But I'm just telling you what it says. 1 year, that's 12 months, 1 month, one day, and 1 hour. And they're going to slay a third part of the human race. Be over 1 billion people. And they talk about peace. They talk about, let's get along. Let's get involved. Let's share our good fortune with others. That's the kind of stuff they're talking about. And this coming on. I mean, it sure looks like peace is on the way, don't it? Say, a third part of the men. Look at verse 15. That's what it said, the third part of men. Verse 16, listen to this. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. That's 200 million horsemen, folks. Huh? 200 million. Now, there's only one nation in the world right now that's capable of doing that. I mean, know who it is. It's China. China is the only nation in the world that's capable of producing 200 million soldiers. You say that China, I don't know. I ain't gonna even guess at it either, I don't know. But they're going to come down the Euphrates River to the land of Palestine. It's going to be dried up. And why do you think they'd be on horses? Maybe there won't be no gas then. Could you imagine trying to put 200,000 soldiers in vehicles? I don't know. We just have to take the Bible and see what it says. See? Verse 16, there's 200,000,000. See? And each one of them will kill five people. Figure it up. That's 1 billion people. All right, verse 17 says, and thus I saw the horses in the vision. Now listen to this. And them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jason and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the head of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Now, you see what I just read? The one that sat on the horse has the same description as the horse. You see that? Then it said on him, having breastplates of fire and of jason, well it is, and brimstone, and the head of the horse it were as the head of lions, out of the mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. See, the horses and them that sat on them, they have breastplates of fire. Now brimstone is the word for hydrogen sulfide. It smells like rotten eggs. And whatever those things are, they come up from the ground with sulfur coming off of them. And sulfur's in the ground, isn't it? Or they come up with sulfur on them, and that stuff's a burning. And doesn't burn them. Could you imagine somebody poured gas on you and lit it, wouldn't, and the gas burned, you didn't burn? Well, that's what the thing's saying. Okay? It's hard to believe, ain't it? Verse 19 says, "For their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. A horse with a tail like a snake." And these are the monsters, and they, let me tell you something, you know what? They down under us right now. You say, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, you don't believe the Bible. The Bible tells you where they come from. And they might be getting ready now. Could be. The Bible said in verse 20, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues," these are part that didn't die, "yet repented not of the works of their hands, they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk." You know what I'm saying? It's saying after all this, they still won't turn to God. You say, "Well, that's hard to believe." No, if you know human races, if you know God and know how people are, you're not. Because you see, it's like I tried to tell you here before. If you come to church and you hear the Bible and you harden against it, then God will harden you more. And you'll come to a place where the Bible won't mean nothing to you. You could care less what it says. And you reject God so many years, and to come to a place, I don't care what happened in your life, you still had a new God. You say, "That's hard to believe." Well, let me give you a good example. How about Pharaoh back in the book of Exodus? He was a king, and God sent Moses to him, said, "God said, let my people go." He said, I don't know God." So God hardened him. Every time Moses went back, he was harder and harder and harder. You know the most dangerous thing you do in this world? You reject God's word. See? The most dangerous thing you can do. You may come to this. I mean, could you imagine all this going on and people still turn and cuss God and heaven? "I don't want God." If you tell them, "That's the Lord doing that." "Ah, damn God, I don't want God. I don't have nothing to do with God." I mean, you ever seen a man who, you try to tell somebody about and they curse God right before you, right in your face there. You know what that is? That's just hard. That's just hard-hearted. That's just a heart that God can't touch. Now look at here. Verse 21 says, "Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft." That's an interesting verse to me. That's almost like reading today's newspaper. Murderers. You know what a murderer is? A murderer is a God hater. You know that? The sorceries. That word sorcery is from the word pharmaceutical. It means pharmacy. And that means use of drugs. It'll be a drug-infested population. Nor their fornication. No morals. Their morals are gone. Their thefts. No character. Dishonest. Now, you that's about like reading the description of the average person today, isn't it? Huh? The dope heads. People that have no morals. And people that are dishonest. I was down at the store today and a man came in and the fellow asked me, he said, "Check this man in." I checked him in and when he left, I said, "Hey, he shorted you 4 loaves. Now they're working short, cheating people. Just, that's the way people are. You see, folks, all these are attributes of people living without God. You say, "Oh, it's just my environment, and it's my upbringing, and it's this one." No, it don't have to do with it. You can't blame nobody for your own sin, you know? If you got something in your life wrong, you who to blame? Look in the mirror and say, "You done it." Right? Look at verse 21. Look at it. "Neither repented they." What repent means? It means to change, doesn't it? Huh? Well, something wrong in your life. You know why I say that? Because you won't repent and get right. All right, let's start chapter 10. Now, remember, we started off this series, we were talking about seven trumps, weren't we? Now, we've come to six. Now, what we're seeing here, look up here just a minute, I'm not going to bring this board down. What we're seeing is we come to six trumps. One, I told you I'm going to throw all my chalk away. We got one, two, three, four, five, six trumps now. All right, we got seven over here in chapter 11. Let's look at chapter 11 and verse 15. But in between the seventh one, which is chapter 11, verse 15, we got a practical thing like this. Okay? And that's what we're going to study now. We're going to study this principal thing between the sixth and the seventh trump. Everybody got it? You understand what we're doing now? All right, let's read it. Verse 10, chapter 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, let's see if we can identify this person. Let's go back to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. I think that's where we want to go. You know, Daniel also prophesied these things. And Daniel and Revelations kind of go along. But, see, the only thing is, Daniel wrote the end time and didn't see the church age. John put it all together with the church in there. So that's the big difference. So what I say, Daniel 12 and verse 4. Okay, Daniel 12, verse 4, it's on page 919 in the Scofield Bible. Okay? Daniel 12, verse 4 said, But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Okay? So that's a sign that run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Man is getting smarter and smarter. He's learning how to travel, but he's still without God. I ain't sure that's the verse I want to read you on. Well, really it's not, but let me see. I'll get some more Daniel later on. I don't think that's the verse I want to read you, but it does apply to this age. Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. Right, go back to Revelation chapter 10. Verse 2, the Bible says, And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. Okay? And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roweth, and when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Okay? Now, you see, John was told to write what he heard, and Daniel was told to seal up the book and not finish it. See? And that's what I told you. Revelations opens up the Bible. You couldn't understand how everything Daniel wrote because Daniel didn't include the church. Daniel saw the coming Messiah. He saw the second coming. But Daniel didn't see the church in there, see? But John had the whole thing. And Daniel was told to seal it up to the end of time. John was told to put it down. Now, let's see what these seven thunders are. Let's go back to Psalms 29. We'll find out what these seven thunders are. Psalm chapter 29. I'll get the page and I'm going to give it to you. Psalms 29, that's on page 612. Okay. Now, he said there was seven thunders. Remember when Christ was on the cross and he spoke and somebody said, It thunders. Right? So, look at Psalm 29. And verse 3. and I'll show you the seven thunders. Psalm 29:3, the voice of the Lord is upon many waters, the God of glory thundereth, the Lord's upon many waters. That's one. Two is in verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful. That's two. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Verse 4, the voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars, yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Verse 7 is 5, the voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. Verse 8 is 6, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness, the Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. Verse 9 is 7, the voice of the Lord maketh the hind a calf and discovereth the forest, and his temple doth one speak of his glory. So you got the seven things there in Psalm 29, verse 3. It's the voice of the Lord. So these thunders over here, these seven thunders, is the voice of the Lord. Okay? And I believe Job said it was, that his voice was like thunder. See? And I'll tell you what I believe. Now, you may not like this, and I can't prove it, but I believe when the rapture takes place, when the Lord says, come up hither, the world say, boy, that's a big clash of thunder, wasn't it? Huh? You say, that's kind of far out. It ain't too far out. You just read your Bible. I mean, when Jesus on the cross, and the Lord, when he spoke that to God, that crowd said it thundered. And Job said his voice thunders. And I just read you here the seven trumps. And Psalm 29, verse 3, it's talking about the seven trumps. All right, so the Bible says in verse 3, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when it cried seven thunders, uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things with the seven thunders, utters, and write them not. And whatever he said, he told them not to write them down. So thunders said something in the voice of God, and another voice said, don't write it down. You say, what was it? I don't know. Do you know? Tell me if you do. We get the glory, I'll tell you. I don't know what it was. Okay? Now, verse 5 says this, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hands to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, no evolution, who created heaven and the things therein are, and the earth and the things that are therein are, and the sea, no evolution, and the things which are, no evolution, therein there should be time no longer. Now, how about that? Time no longer. Listen, you know there's going to come a time when time will cease. You won't be no clocks. Suppose time cease right now. It'd be 4 minutes after 8 for eternity. You say, explain. I can't explain that. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. See, you see, we're in time now. Amen. And some of us have been here a long time. Amen. Look at us. But one day it won't be no time. It'll be eternity. I'm looking forward to that. Can you just imagine living it? When you got what time don't mean nothing to you? I mean, I got to worry about tomorrow. This heart might conk out and I go out here. That's time, see? When time ceases, that's over. That's hard to guess, but if you know, that's. But see, that's what it is. Jesus Christ was eternal. In the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. There was a time when there was just eternity. And God created a universe and put it in time. And man sinned, so Jesus Christ had to become God and come in time to save men and women from their sins so he could live forever in eternity. You understand that, don't you? Sure you do. That's very simple. All right, now, look. Let's get something here on evolution. The Bible says, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heavens and the things that are therein. You see that? I mean, he created the heavens and everything in it. Now, folks, let me show you something here. I'm going to try to, you can get this on tape. There's only four things you could say about creation. Four things. And ain't nothing else. I'm going to give them to you. Number one is, it's always been here. You listen? That violates the first law or the second law of thermodynamics. If it always been here, it would have wore out a billion years ago. Number two, it wasn't always been here, but it gradually came into being from nothing. That violates the first law. Nothing is being created. Nothing is changing now. You realize if evolution were true, that we'd still be in a process of changing? Do you know that? That's hard to believe. See, some people not believe in evolution, but I mean, it ain't true. Amen? That's not scientific. Then the third thing is, it's not really here. You just think it is. Well, don't answer that. Just be a dope head and get drunk. Amen. I mean, to think like that, you insane. You might as well just go, you crazy. There's only one thing left. God made it. And there's nothing else possible about it. There's nothing else you can turn to and believe, see? There's only four things you can say about this universe, and that is two of them are not scientific. One of them's insane. If you're sane and believe what you see, you're a Bible believer whether you believe it or not about creation. See a man that talks that we evolved from something, he's crazy. He's two-thirds crazy. But you know what they're teaching in the school now? You know what I mean? That means some of these educated teachers are crazy teaching your kids. Yeah, they're crazy teaching your kids. You know why they're getting away with it? Because mamas and daddies supposed to be saved, ain't got enough the guts, don't know about the Bible to go and straighten them out. Mamas and daddies, oh yes sir, boy, they're real smart. They keep their kids out of school, they're going to take them to Halloween trick-or-treat, give them all those filthy garbage on TV, won't take them to church and teach them the Bible and learn the Bible, won't know how to protect their kids from that kind of garbage over there. They're real smart, ain't they? I fought that system for 25 years. I've had the books thrown away, the dress codes violated, and everything else. I'm glad that's over with me. One preacher told me, I got on to him about his daughter going to school. He said, well, Brother Street, they got to get an education. I said, if they got to get an education and violate what the Bible said, the hell with the education. That's what I told him. He got upset with me. But that's my attitude about it. And if you don't like that, well, then you got a problem too, not me. See, I go by the book. Now, the Bible says there, and swear by him that liveth, how long? Forever and ever. I think an eternal God knows more than we do, don't you? Huh? I think an eternal God knows more than a fellow that passed his test in college, don't you? That fellow's going to die. You know, that's an amazing thing. Here's a man that's going to die, and the worm's going to eat his flesh, and he'll take the word of God and change it and think he's something. Ain't man something, folks? All right, verse 7, we got to get going here now. We'll finish this thing up in a minute. Verse 7 said, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as yet declared to his servant the prophets. All right, when this angel sounds, the mystery is finished. Now let's go to chapter 11, verse 15. We'll get something together here. Chapter 11, verse 15. And look at this verse here. The Bible says, and the seventh angel sounded, And there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. See? The mystery is God is going to take over this world and rule it. And when this angel sounds, it's over. You know why? Because that's when he comes back. I mean, when Christ comes back, the mystery is finished. That's what it said in verse 7. It says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Okay? Now, we really should stop there because that's a paragraph mark, but let's just make a little bit of comment on that, on verse 8. And if you notice that, it said the little book Eden. So look at verse 8. The Bible says, and the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book, which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and the earth. Now that goes back to verse 1 and chapter 9. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. I meant to go to chapter 10, verse 1. I went to 9, verse 1. Look at 10, verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven with a cloud and with a rainbow, and upon his head and his face as it were the sun, and his feet were the pillar of fire, and he had in his hand a little book. Okay? Open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. All right, now when in verse 8, this voice said this. He said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which stands upon the sea and upon the earth. Now, the question is, what is the little book? What is it? Well, it's probably the Bible. Some say it's the book of Daniel, and some say it's the title deed to the earth. But you see, when the Bible was inspired, it wasn't a Bible, it was Scripture. So I can't say for sure. It's a little book, it's all we know. And it could be the book of Daniel, because Daniel is, you might say, a little book. But this angel standing there with one foot on the sea, one foot on earth, he's got a little book. And John said, I heard another voice say, said, go to that angel and take the little book from him. Okay? Verse 9 says, and I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. That must have been something good. Has an angel standing on half of him on the earth, half of him on the sea, and a man comes up and said, give me the book. You know? But don't forget, John was the servant of God, and the servant of God obeys what God said, you see. The mark of a servant is obedience. Some of you said, I'd like to be a servant of God. Then if you want to be a servant of God, you got to obey God. If you don't obey God, you're not a servant. If you don't obey God, you're a rebel. You're not a servant. You know that? I said try to keep it sweet tonight, but that's the way it is. All right, verse 8 says, go and take the book. So verse 9, he said, that's what he did. And I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Now, we're going to spend a few minutes on that verse, so mark your Bible there. And that's where we're going to take it up next Thursday night. Now, this is a short chapter. It only has 11 verses, and we'll get through it, and then we'll go into...